There's 2 words in the way of Gaza can easily manifest itself. 2 words that are especially relevant to the latter half of the 20th century. The first word is the word that we're all very familiar with, and that is sort of a sense of arrogance, a sense of cynicism. Which might be the guys that can easily manifest itself. 2 words that are especially relevant to the latter half of the 20th century. The first word is the word that we're all very familiar with, and that is sort of a sense of arrogance, a sense of cynicism. Which might be the byproduct of centuries living under the assumption that all men are the same, of the assumptions of egalitarianism. The second type of gaiva, which is not quite as easily discernible, is the gaiva of self-satisfaction and smugness, which we all fall prey to. The sense that everything's basically all right, I'm all right, the world's all right, I fit into the world all right, what I do on a daily basis is basically all right. And that's also derived essentially from Gaiva, from a sense of smug self-satisfaction. Both of these are especially prevalent today. Maybe the spirit of rebellious Gaiva was more prevalent in the West from, let's say, the time of the Reformation until shortly after World War II. And the spirit of smug self-satisfaction is probably more prevalent post-World War II with the absolute triumph of finance capitalism, especially throughout Western Europe. But be that as it may, there's no doubt that Al-Pitola denies this fakir, and that Gaiva is viewed as the worst of all possible others. We need look no further than the famous Gemara in Sota. Gemara in Sota is the Shoresh, the Makor and Shach. It's the Sugya of Gaiva. It's in Sota. We run from Dabdal and Beis, Dabham and Aleph. Think of the whole thing. Just to give you a few short tidbits, the Gemara says that whoever is a Balgaiva is compared to three different Mandiyamim, but each Mandiyama compares Gaiva to either a Vedas Pekavim, that's assumed by the Thais, Rabbi Yochanan, who compares it to being close to the Ika, and Rabbi Kama Bar Hanina, who compares it to being Boros Kol HaRoth. So there isn't much room left here, no matter which mandiyama we want to follow, that Gaiva is something which strikes at the shoresh, at the root of all of Eretz. And later on this evening, when we discuss the time trial and the Shavu Kedusha, we'll see that there's no doubt that Gaiva is the shoresh. The Chodesh Lovavos, at the end, in the tenth parak that he has on Gaiva, says, if you would ask what's the worst of all Yidus laws, Gaiva. Also for Deacon, also, worst, service, that's the service of all Yidus laws is Gaiva. And this Gemara would seem to substantiate the Gemara goes on and on and on, comparing Gaiva to the worst possible things in the world, and even if a person has Torah, and he was even a person Makabu Torah, like Moshe Rabbeinu, but Gaiva can push the whole thing away. So we see that Gaiva appears to be The shoresh of all of us. Yes. Interestingly enough, the poskim, the Rambam, does not bring an issur of gaiva or an issur of anava in the minyan mitzvah. However, the Shaarei Tshuva does. The Shaarei Tshuva apparently holds that the pasuk that reveals to them the vavim may echo, but of course it's just the melech. So Shuvah says it's talking about an Atara but we should not be the gaiva. The hofa min ashenu midas hagaiva. The hofa min ashenu is hagaiva. Which, interestingly enough, the Torah here in the Sarah Tshuva is Nidayat, the Lashon, the Hotham, and Afshenu, Midas HaGaiva, that we're not just talking about an Issa which manifests itself, the Maisa, but the Issa of Gaiva manifests itself, the Machshava as well. The Machshava as well. Yeah. So it's not just an Issa of the Maisa. Yeah. And the Gaiva is the Avera Kamura. Again, the same thing, Shari Tshuva, Avera Kamura, Hama Abdus, and Machara Samefis. The Avera is God, Shari Tshuva. So Shari Tshuva does count it apparently among the Minyan HaMitzvah. Why the Rambam and the other posts don't, we'll get to a bit later on. There is one more interesting thing in terms of the Minyan HaMitzvah, and it's the Gevalde Gezach, clear the Gezach. In the Smad Tavdama, very fascinating thing. The Smad, the Torah, at the end of his Avodama, that he was prompted to write his Sefer by a dream. A dream where he was communicated with a Mara, which he received in the middle of the night, to write this Sefer. There was a need to write a Sefer, there were Minyan HaMitzvahs, and he brings that down. And then, he says, the very last thing before he concludes his Avodama, he says, the Jam the Inyan Halavin Ba Eli Bakalam Inyan Mara Bizahalasan. As far as the Minyan of the Lavin, after he had finished writing the Smad, within the whole thing, he got another Chalom, another dream. And in that dream, the Smad says, he was told the following message, Hine Shachachta Esaita. You forgot the most important thing of all the Lavin. That was the most important of all the Lavin the Smad forgot. Again, the Patriarch of Hisham al-Akhat and Tishkin of Hashem al-Akhat of Aram Levavta, the same Issa of Geyas, again, a different passage in the passage of Shari Tshuva brings down, but the same Issa of Geyas. So this was the thing that the Smad had to be told about in the column. He forgot the most important of all the Rabbin. This is what the Smad forgot. Shachachta Se'ita, he forgot this. He says, Vajam Rabbeinu Moshe, where he's Peter Dominion. As I said before, the Rambam also doesn't mention Gaza. As Bernan of the Balkan, I thought about in the morning, says the Smog, after the dream, that he may say, Gogolud Yiris Hashem, that he bowed to each of the Golden Mokomim. I thought this would be a say, do you say Gogolud Yiris Hashem is Gaivot, and therefore he included it in the film and he wrote about it at length. But apparently, it was important enough, the thing of Gaivot, for the Smog to be communicated with in Hashemayim for a second time. That the original communication which wasn't for that to say, so the second communication, which is left out the most important thing, which is Gaiva. So again, we begin to get a sense of the importance of the union of Gaiva, the evil of it, and the union of another. Again, briefly, just to go off Dhamma here to set the stage a little bit, just I'm sure we're familiar with the pasuk in the Torah where another is clearly praised, where each nation on his ma'od. That Moshe was an Amid Ma'od, Mikarev, Masha Pnei Adama, and in the Rambam, is Medayik, in the Smyrna of Prakim, the fact that it says, that each Moshe Amid Ma'od, Amid Ma'od. And therefore the Rambam says, in Smyrna of Prakim, and the Hezdeus, which I'm sure you're more familiar with, in the Hezdeus, the Rambam says that of all the Midas Ra's Torah, the Gaza is the only one where the command is to go Akasa Akram, to the reverse side. And the source of that is the fact that Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu was on the Ma'od, meaning that this is the one Midah where one must be Ma'od, one must be extreme in his rejection of the Midah. Again, just the Berach HaGama to set the stage in terms of the importance. And throughout the Torah, to be solved, we find Mishra obviously is full of it, is full of references to Gaiva. The Mishra Tazayim, Parabas Hashem Kadei Balei, Yad Liyad La Yenoka, that again, that it's despicable to Hashem anybody who is Gay Balei. And the Temple Hosh says, Prophet says, Yad Liyad La Yenoka, the Temple Hosh teaches that as follows, that the worst take care in Gaius will be in interpersonal relations. Yad Le Yimata is saying that the person, the Te'eva of Geis, will manifest itself the most, Klape, interpersonal relations, that's where it'll Klape the most, that's where it'll be the most harm. Yad Le Yad meaning interpersonal relations. Again, same idea. But Te'eva Sashem Kadeh Bele. The other part of this course, interesting part with this follows right afterward, just a little bit of background here, and there's Rabbeinu Yonah on it, it's very divided notes. The Pasuk says, the Tosh Shval Ruach, Eser Anavim, Mechalek Shara, that it's better to be a Shval Ruach with Anavim, than it is to be a Chalek, a Mechalek Shral, than to divide riches and spoils. And Rabbeinu Yonah says there, it's far better for a person to spend time with the poor, than it is to spend time with the rich. For the simple reason, he says, that the poor by nature are humble, the poor by nature have humility. So tell Shkar Ruach with Anavim, it's better to be a Shkar Ruach, it's better to be a Shkar Ruach with Anavim with the poor people than it is to spend time with the rich, because inevitably the Chalek Shlal is referring to the rich, because inevitably spending time with the rich will bring one to Geis. That's where the Ben Yonah is concerned, because so again, perhaps a commentary on certain economic forms, perhaps. The pasuk, also the famous pasuk in Mishle, which we all know about, but I mentioned it just for the sake of the Rabbeinu Yonah, he says a very novel chart on it, the Eitiv Anav Yeres Hashem, Eishav Akav Batayim, so Eitiv Anav Yeres Hashem, the heel of Anav Yeres Hashem. Once again, the Rabbeinu Yonah comes and tells us something which seems to shatter very much and the basic fundamental assumption of late 20th century America. So then you only comment that what's the connection between Eitiv Anav Yeres Hashem? Why is it connected to Eishav Akav Batayim? I mean, that is the brother that if the person is an enemy, do you get rich? No. But then you only said like this, that the Shabbos Kila Yirad Lipnos and Yameh Elam Hazra. The owner doesn't care about getting a lot of Olam Hazeh. Although you're an Afalain, he doesn't sigh, he's not concerned with Olam Hazeh. And Mele, the owner is not concerned. He has Osha the Kabbal B'Kayim. Whatever he has is in the gather of Osha the Kabbal B'Kayim. Because it's not that he gives him really Osha, but the owner is not concerned about such things. He says, Kasha Hadav Yizua, as the thing is known, so we're going to go on this way, Kasha Hadav Yizua Midarcha Midas Hanava. As is well known from the Derech of Midas Hanava, person that has it has no shaykhus to riches. So once again, a tie-in between another and a non-concern with wealth. Of course, as we go on to that Tanakh, we're all familiar with the Pesukim in Tehillim. Zikra Hashem Ruach Nishbara, Lev Nishka V'Nitza, Kim Lev Sivza, which is what the Gemara tells, the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that it is the equivalent of bringing all the Tabanas, that the Lev Nishka V'Nitza, a person who has a broken heart, a crushed heart, which is always the way the Tehillim describes the Amor, it's the equivalent of bringing all the Kabbanas, because the Kabbanas can at times be described by Hashem, but the Leib Nishta V'Nitzka, or the Tim Leib Sigda, will never be described. And again, of course, in others, we're familiar with all the Mishnahs, in others, we talk about another, the Mishnah of Mo'ed Mo'ed Havosh Baruach, the Mishnah of the beginning of Parashat Torah, Umadashko, another of the Yira. Nabashma, by the way, incidentally, it's interesting that the Tanana says, Nabashma, Anavi Yira, in Nafshato, Leo, Tabi Zapatid, Tanana says that Anava is inextricably linked to the righteousness, the purity, which is connected with the sexual purity, that there's a connection between Anava and sexual purity, the Tanana says, that umachsharto is the preparation, another is the preparation for sexual purity. The Balgaiva cannot be sexually, he cannot have a need of Tahara. And of course, one of the manifest developments out there, and Mr. Ham is obviously another as well. One cannot be Tonya Torah without another. Kashaya, That's the Tzatzatzah. Again, as we said last week, a person can become a Torah. A person can know a lot of Torah, obviously. As we said last week, the people, you know, people in the JTS, whatever, can, you know, they have a person that can know Torah. But that's not Torah. That's not Torah. So if a person is missing Midas HaNavah, he can't be Kona, he can't have a real opinion of it. Okay. A little background. What do we mean we saw another? Start with Aleph, before we get to any higher explanations or more halakha l'maaseh. What do we mean, Pashat Pshat, when we say another? So, have to look at the Rishonim. We learned the Masechta, the Chumash, and the Masechta. Have to look at the Rishonim to see what the actual Pshat in another is. So, two fundamental terms in this regard, of course, covers the Levavos and the Alpha Tzaddikim. So, let's look at them a bit here and see what they say about what Midas HaNavah actually is. The Chavos Levavos seemingly divides another into the thought of another, another being, in a sense, an emotional state. We'll get to that a bit more later on. Gives you the machshavas, the pnimius of another, and then it gives you the chitzonius, how another would actually manifest itself. So first the machshavas which he lists, many, selected six, which are really very powerful, if taken seriously. The machshavas, the pnimius, that produce another, that are another. I'm not saying produce another, that are another. Again, following Shari Shuva, that another is the Machshava also. The first thing he says that least one another is contemplating, thinking about, meditating on objects to what they respond. Simply object, the depth that we have of life, of health, of well-being, happiness, all the blessings we have. Object to our son brings us to another. And he refers the reader back to Shara Bechina. Those of you who are familiar with Tevis Levavos, I'm sure you're well aware that one of the Sha'ar and the Tevis Levavos is Shara Bechina. Shara Bechina dissects all the physical benefits that man has in this world and says the person is mechuyev to contemplate the physical benefits of the world. This is our debt to Hashem, these physical benefits. Those of you who are familiar with the Gemara's writings, I'm sure you all know that in all his form, this is a constant theme. Meditation, contemplation of the debt we owe to Hashem. And each of us can think about it in our own particular way, the own particular things that make our life sweeter and nicer. So thinking about that, it leads to another. That's the first thing. You feel indebted to Hashem. When a person is in debt to someone else, he feels humble in the presence of the person he's in debt to. Also can obviously stop it as well. He says the next thing that leads to another is meditation upon God's greatness. This is two separate things. The first thing is our personal debt to Hashem. The second thing is God's greatness, God's majesty. The sense we get when we approach, whatever it is, Niagara Falls or a starry sky or something like that. You know, the line that I've quoted many times somewhere in towards the end of the Norman Mailer's The Making of the Dead Lobby, brings the story of the Catholic is in the Pacific Ocean, and the Catholic soldier about ready to embark on a Japanese island there, and it's pre-drawing the Pacific, and any second now he'll be forced to embark, he might be shot dead on the beach there on the Japanese island. And he's like, Catholic boy, religious boy, and he looks at the starry sky above, and the awesomeness of the star-studded sky overwhelms him, and he mumbles him to his dumb bleeding atheist, you know, and the soldier next to him says, well, he's not nothing. The sense that we get when we see the awesomeness of Hashem's creation, the awesomeness of Hashem's creation, that produces another. And of course, each of us in our own way, the way we the sky above us, or the vastness of creation, or as it says out there on the plaque on the outside of the Hayden Planetarium, that the guy was the Hayden, but I don't know his first name was, it wasn't Pat, huh? But the Hayden Planetarium, that the reason he made the Hayden Planetarium was that we should come to an appreciation of the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. So a meditation on God's greatness. The next thing that can bring a person to another, he says, is the transient nature of life. The fact that everybody seems to die. Everybody seems to die. And this fact brings a person to another, the realization that we are here for a very, very, very brief period, and that before too long, everything and everybody we know and the whole world we know will no longer be here. And meditation upon this fact brings a person to another. just an aside here, the Achshos of Reichen, the famous Talmud of Zetzner, the famous Polish Rebbe, has a faith Achshos of Reichen. He takes many of the Machshavos that the Gemara says we should remember or think about, for example, Yatzchel Yom HaMitzvah, and he describes how a person should actually do this. How does a person remember Yom HaMitzvah? And he goes through, I mean, actually how a person should contemplate the day of his own death. And to the degree that a person brings vividness and forcefulness to such imagery, to that degree they make a relation with his neshama. Yatzchel Yom HaMitzvah. Yatzchel Yom HaMitzvah. What does it mean? If a person seriously reflects upon the fact that self-help is going to be dead, and for a very, very, very long time, then this inevitably makes a powerful, powerful relation on the tongue. So when we go through all these things the Holy Spirit ever says we should think about, the chat is we think about them until they hit us, until they sink in. But it's also one thing, we used to be Madras, to learn most of these pilots, used to teach us to say over Ma'amara Chazal and Ma'amara and Sifrei Musa until they sunk into our heart and they penetrated. It's not to say, think about God's awesomeness, think about Yom HaMitzvah, think about our death. It means think till that thought cuts into one's heart and soul and makes a racial on the person. Alright, so what else did he say? Because not only is our life transient because of death, he says, another Matuda, is because there's not only death, there's a haphazardness of daily existence. There's sickness, there's suffering, there's this, there's that. Who knows? Who knows? Whoever knows? He compares it, which is really interesting because the Chabad Chassidim is the one who always talks about the goodness of Hashem. But he compares suffering in the world to being in a dungeon when you don't know what the next torture is that's going to be served up to you, what's the next torture you're going to get. And the nice of both are true. Both are true. There's this sense that we don't know what's going to happen next. Who knows what's going to happen next to us? And this brings us a sense, the fragility of human existence brings us thoughts of another as well. The next thing he says is that we should contemplate the psukim in the Torah that describe the severe punishment to come for Gaiva. And there are many, many psukim in the Torah before. He puts a whole slew of them there in the Chavos Levavos. When we contemplate these psukim as how evil and how much Hashem despises Gaiva, so that also will bring us to humility. And the last thing that he says is when we contemplate the essential worthlessness of so much of what we do with our lives. So this brings the person to another because he feels unworthy than Hashem. And no matter, you know, every person obviously when he thinks about what he's doing on a day-to-day basis, so much of it seems to be, and I guess this applies not only to those of us that are associated with schools, but so much of it seems to be just sort of senseless rigmarole. So again, when we contemplate how much of what we do is seemingly worth it. So these are amongst the machshavos that define the thoughts of another. Halacha l'maaseh now. What are the rules of halacha l'maaseh of another? And again, these are all just basic concepts. I hope to look at this a little more deeply in a little while. But let's just say basically what are the things that one has to do. So he lists many things. The first one he lists is to be ma'aver amidosa, to be forgiving, forbearing. The Orkas Tzadikim lists being ma'aver amidosa as two midos. He says one must be ma'aver amidosa klapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one must be ma'aver amidosa klapi people, which means the honor when he suffers accepts it. If the suffering is from Hashem, he accepts it. If the suffering comes from other people, he forgives it. He forgives it. The honor is ma'aver amidosa. This, as we all know, is far, 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 far more easier said than done. To be able to be patur from those who are insulted and wronged and forgive. And of course he's saying not only that we shouldn't do or say anything in retaliation, but he's saying we should start to forgive. Start to forgive being wrong. This is what he calls being ma'aver amidosa, accepting the judgment of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and accepting hurt and pain from man. We accept it. And again, I just find it such a precious mitzvah that I met several times tonight in Zishin and Mayra, which I've told many times, since you heard it from me, but it illustrates the sense of accepting from Hashem the same story that was Zisha and Ramallah when they were going in Dallas together. They came to an inn, and there was no place for them to sleep, so they slept on the floor in the corner of the inn, and some drunken Cossacks entered this inn, and they saw these people sleeping there, and they said, ah, you know, as Cossacks always will want to do, they said, no, let's beat up one of these Jews, and they grabbed the Zisha, who was lying closer to them, and they gave him, they knocked the tar out of him, and they took him, they threw the Zisha, bloodied and battered back on the floor. And about an hour or two later, they were deeply into their cups, and they said, well, it's about time to beat up the Jew again. And they went over there, and during the time that they had been drinking, the Zisha told the Maila, she said, with the breeder, he said, you know, what we ought to do really is that we ought to change places because, you know, it's just terrible. No, the Maila said, the Zisha, we ought to change places because if they come back, they should take me this time, not you. So they changed places. Zisha went next to the wall, and the Maila moved over. So the Cossacks came and said, let's beat up this Jew. And they got to grab the Maila, and one of them said, wait a minute. He said, we already beat that one up. He said, let's get the other Jew next to the wall. So they took the Zisha, and they beat him up again. So, and Zisha said afterwards, he said, after Bashar Tachap and Klep is Bashar. In other words, if God has ordained it for a person to Tachap Klep in this world, then you get it. Doesn't matter. You can't get away from it. So the true Eved Hashem is a marvel on the base of Klep Yotei's Barthel, and he's a marvel on the base of Klep the other people as well. The other Midos, he says, is that the Anav always strives to do more mitzvahs than Maisim Tovim. For the simple reason, the Anav views himself as unworthy. The Anav views himself as unworthy, and therefore he always strives to do more mitzvahs than Maisim Tovim. There's a sense of no satisfaction in what he's done. He always wants to do more. The next Midah, which is connected to this one, is that the Anav also wants to perfect those Maisim Tovim. And it's not only more mitzvahs than Maisim Tovim, it's the mitzvahs than Maisim Tovim that I'm doing should be better tomorrow than they were today. Davening, learning, midos, whatever it is, should be better tomorrow than it actually was today. Also, he says that the need of the Anav is that he's satisfied with whatever Hanasa Hashem sends him. Again, the same recurring, perhaps distressing theme that we have for Mishlei as well, that the true Anav is satisfied with whatever Parnassa, whatever love that Hashem sends him. He accepts it, makes this, makes that, he accepts it. That's also something that an Anav does, the Maisa. And another thing which he mentions, which is really a bit of a chiddush, he says the Anav will attack Yishus and will attack Rishon. And you might think just the reverse, that the Anav is somebody who, because of his amnivus, wouldn't do such things. He says, no. He says, the true Anav has no sense of itself, so therefore, they'll attack Rishus with him. He doesn't care what happens to himself. You know, I'll attack it. Maybe I'll get in trouble. Maybe I'll get this. Maybe I'll get that. There are no such cheshbonos for an Anav. An Anav, therefore, will attack Rishus and Rishon. Again, obviously, with prudence, evaluating the time, place, and circumstance, but the Anav will attack Rishus. And finally, he says that the Anav will spend much time studying the Inyan of another. That it is not simply enough to do these things, but one must actively study another. And obviously that means looking at the Sifrei Musa and the Sifrei Hasidus that deal with the Midah, to the Midah of another. Okay. So again, this is just laid the basic groundwork about the importance of another and somewhat of a definition of another. Now, the question we raised at the very beginning today was why most minor hamitzvahs, except for the smad and the Shari Tshuva, do not count another or the issue of Gaiva amongst the mitzvahs. So first we have to turn to the Shari Kedusha of the Panditai, which is a very basic mitzvah. It's not a Kabbalah say, for the Panditai obviously is the author of what we refer to today as Kistei Ha'ari and the Yod Chaim, the Pri Yod Chaim, and the Shari Kavanos, and the Kedusha Torah, but he also authored a basic work on mitzvah, known as Shari Kedusha, which is well worth looking at. And the Shari Kedusha is often quoted, very famous quote from Shari Kedusha, which I'm sure many of you have heard, that the quote is really only the tip of the iceberg in the Sefer itself. The Shari Kedusha has been quoted as saying But the reason why Nidos are not listed in the Torah, Nidos Tovos, are not listed in the Torah, is because they are the Hakana to all Tariyad Mitzvahs. They serve as a preparation to all of Tariyad Mitzvahs. This is Torah, I think it's quoted very often. But the Shaira Kedusha there is much, much further than that. The Tantikawa is much further than that. And he says as follows. He says that it is impossible, he says, to be Mekayim Tariyad Mitzvahs except through Midos. Except through Midos. Now what does that mean? So the first thing he says is Pashut that a person won't want to. Until a person has Midos Tovos, he will be racked in certain areas of Shmiras Torah. And that's really Pashut because, take for example, Gaiva and Anava. First of all, Gaiva, he's going to do those mitzvahs which he's good at. Or he's going to do those mitzvahs which other people can see. Or he's going to do those mitzvahs that come very easy to him. A person, let's say, who's very skillful, very adept in learning, so he'll tend to concentrate on that, and he'll be lax in chesed, or, patet, or if somebody finds a special geschmack in a certain kind of learning, the Balgaiva will be lax in doing certain mitzvahs, because he's really doing the mitzvahs not Tapei Shmaya, but he's doing the mitzvahs Tapei himself. That's very precious. There'll be a certain lack of it. It's much more than that. He says, Midos are the neshama. Midos are the neshama of the person. And therefore, he says, in the Midos haroz, kashim min haveris atman. They're worse than actual haveris Midos haroz. Ma'od ma'od. This isn't Torah's off. He says, Midos haroz are worse. And he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, kol ha'koreis is over the Bodhis Aramamish. Or bishi yesh to gashus ruach, is called for the Ika, and so on and so forth. So Midos Ra'os are deeper, because Midos Ra'os go to the neshama of the person, whereas the Midos Ra'os and Tovim are only to the Eivare Haguf. That's where he explains it. And therefore Midos Ra'os are much worse than actual Vedas. And he goes on to say, by the way, just Baruch Agav, I'll note this here, that he says the Gaiva is the Shorish of all Midos Ra'os. For example, he says, the first one is anger. Anger and impatience. Anger and impatience, he says, is without gaiva, there's no hakpada. He says, when a person is in honor and accepts that which transpires, so therefore there's no room for anger. Things didn't go exactly where I wanted here, didn't go exactly where I wanted. No. The honor is makabel, that which comes his way with another, and therefore he doesn't have any kapdamas. He says, Kovid obviously also comes from Gaiva, the seeking to condescend, to rule over people, to talk down to people, which of course is part and parcel of every human soul. So that sort of nastiness that you want to be on top of everybody and everything also comes obviously from Gaiva. And he says, Sima, hatred also comes from Gaiva. So he says, the three basic Midos Ra'os are connected with connected with Gaiva. But then he says more. He says, Midos Ra'os, if Midos Ra'os from a person, Nimna Humu Rakaim HaTorah Mitzvahs. He can't do Torah Mitzvahs. And if he does it, Yuya Shalom Hashem Shemayim, a person who has Midos Ra'os, who does Torah Mitzvahs, cannot be doing Hashem Shemayim. But Olav Nama, many of the devotees come to count. And on this person, who does mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, but is a bad gaiva, it says the pasuk nezim zav v'afchazir. The pasuk of nezim zav v'afchazir is stated for negayah for somebody who does mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim while he is in midos ra'os. To owe to ma'asobo melubish kol ha'tumah, because he is still in tumah as long as his soul still has midos ra'os. And therefore, the Torah might be told me that it's a very, very sharp verse, but that's what the Chacham Vital says. So that's Midos Ra'os, and that's the reason why, according to the Chacham Vital, the Noine HaMitzvot don't count Midos Ra'os amongst the mitzvot that they actually count, because Midos Ra'os form the shoresh of all mitzvot. If you don't have Midos Tovos, then the person's Kiyum HaMitzvot is so schwach So if you go in the Gedder of Mezim Zal Dafa. Okay. Let's go now a little bit deeper now into the meaning of another. By the way, Baruch Agav, before we go now deeper, interesting thing that I discovered this week, there's just I just wanted to approach this with the interesting nature of it, that the tennis verse from Baal Shem, that Baal Shem Tov said that we could all deserve from the Madregas of Tanoim and Amorim if it wouldn't be for Gaiva. That which holds us back from Madregas of Tanoim and Amorim is Gaiva. So that's from Baal Shem. I mean, I've known it for many, many years. This week, I was looking around a little bit, I saw in the what's it called, the Chaim Lozman and others, Ruach Haim, from Chaim Lozman and others, in the very first parak, the Chaim Lozman says even more. Chaim Lozman says that we could all be zot from Adegis Moshe Rabbeinu, is not the Gaiva. The difference between us and Moshe Rabbeinu is in another. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's another was what enabled him to be Moshe Rabbeinu. And Baal Shem Tov says it phenomenally wrong. I think that obviously we have interesting concurrence of opinions here, interesting concurrence of analysis, that which separates us from great and lofty Madregas and Torah is God. Is God. That's the thing that separates. Okay. Now let's go a little bit into here. One of the basic Pesukim Svarim of the early generations is Yosha Divrei Emes. Yosha Divrei Emes is written by Rav Favel Zabarija, who actually was a Talmud of the Maggid of Mezrich, the Gosha Maggid, and recorded conversations and comings and goings that took place in Mezrich. A very fundamental sefer. I know the Shachran Rav, who was a great Pesukim of Rav, who lived in Innsbruck, actually around 20 or so years ago. The Brown Rebbe used to always recommend Yosha Divrei Emes as an important sefer for somebody who wants to begin to learn Pesukim Svarim, recommended Yosha Divrei Emes. But the Yosha Divrei Emes, talking about Gaiva and Anava, comes to a very deep theme here. And that is the degree to which we can always fall prey to self-deceit. He answers a different parak to the Kasha, to the Belt Kasha, why there's no mitzvah in the Torah that the money on mitzvah's count of another. He gives a slightly different parak. He brings a parak from Nechel Zatshavah, who is a Talmud of Baal Shem, who is his Rebbe. He says this mitzvah is not given in the Torah, only the Torah tells the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu that he was an honor. He says, why is that, he says? Because if the Torah would give a mitzvah of another, so right away, for those kind of people, he says, they would simply add another mitzvah to their chalkboard of mitzvahs. So the person would say, you know, the person thinks he's a lamdan, and he's a this, and he's a that. So he's out of also, that there would be a mitzvah of another for people for whom mitzvahs become dry forms as opposed to being sources of life. These people would simply add another as another one of these dry forms. I'm an honor. There's a great mice in the Baal Shem illustrating this point. They say that there was a seemingly pious man who lived in Mezrich, by the Baal Shem, who was noted for fasting Mondays and Thursdays, and he barely spoke to anybody. He was a very, very humble man. And the Baal Shem sensed that this wasn't quite what it was touted to be. And one day, some kids were running in the Beit Medrash, and this man was sitting there with an awesome film, he was immersed, and the kids ran by and they jumped into him, they knocked into him, and went back. And the Baal Shem said, the kinder, he said, what are you doing? He said, don't you realize you just disturbed the honor? The guy used to fast the whole week. He says, don't you realize you just disturbed the honor who fast on every Monday and Thursday? And the guy was, he says, no, the honor who fast the whole week. So again, there's a sense in which another can become to a person the same source of self-satisfaction and smugness that any other media can become. And this is one of the deep things that Tacitus cautions us, always cautioning us as it does, probing ever deeper against our self-deceit and probing ever deeper against our smugness, that even another can become just this kind of thing. That another is something that a person has to battle against his entire life. The commandment, famous Sufi Rebbe, and so for nature tested on others, says the reason for going to tzaddikim and chachamim, which is a big thing in Tzaddikim, it's a big thing in Yerushalayim, going to Tzaddikim and chachamim, spending time with them, being with them, and basically, the Rambam says the same thing here, is another. Because when a person spends time in the temple, the Rambam says a person should be with them in the Chachamim, the Ma'atah, the Mishter, and the Sibah, he should be with them when they do everything, the Rambam says. Because obviously everything is Torah. But the Kamana says that the practice in going to Chachamim and Tzaddikim is another. Because when a person sees them, then the person feels his own tremendous insignificance. I'm sure all of us have had, I hope all of us have had such experiences with Tzaddikim and Chachamim, when we have, just by being with them or hearing them speak or being in their presence, we have then felt our own tremendous insignificance. And therefore, this is the reason the commandment says, why in Tzaddikim, the need of going to the Tzaddik, traveling to the Tzaddik, was this. And really, the Mar B'Shamish constantly makes this theme, and all throughout the Mar B'Shamish, he says, the union of going to Tzaddikim, of traveling to Tzaddikim, is precisely this. Then, when we are in the presence, of Tzaddikim, we come to our mother, we compare ourselves to them, and the Mar B'Shamish says more. He says, when Chassidim would go to a Rebbe, he says, they would then see other Chassidim from other cities. Each one would have different midas tovus. Each one would be knowledgeable and tovus. Each one would have different midas. So the mere idea of going together with a chaver to a tzaddik brings a person to another. And that's what the Gemara says, and the Rav Shemesh says, the tachlis of nesius, of going to tzaddikim, of purim, as we say in Yiddish, to a tzaddik, is to bring a person to another. So obviously if that doesn't take place, then the process is intrinsically flawed. Now, the battle against Geras is obviously a never-ending one. The frightful story that we all know from Baal Shem, when Baal Shem is just about Nifka, that the Talmidim say he was whispering something and it bent over, and he was saying, "We don't know that we don't call Roman. I could be any regular guy, but do not bring me to the littlest amount of God." That's what he was saying before he passed away. And the Kamana brings down an other to the first tradition that the Arizal was saying the same thing before he was Mr. also. The Arizal was saying a similar Mr. before he was Mr. That even at death's door to Tzaddikim, there is a fear of God, a fear of Geis. Now, we have to talk to a little bit more halakha l'maisa and a little deeper. I told you once before the famous maisa is a Richard of Sverre, with the Apicotus, and I'm sure others have heard it many times from me. But it's very nagaya, it's very nagaya kandavi, because the question that everybody asks about another is, Mimonim Shach, is another a distortion of the fact, right? And it's obviously, we have maisa. And other people have kashrayimus, right? This is a given, right? So when we talk about nav, what does it mean? Does it mean we ignore the facts? Do we ignore the maisa that we have? Very maisa in the book today, very, very interesting maisa. I've said many times. But because it used to come, it was the early days of Astara. The Ritzel Astara lived in the mid-1800s. And the Apikorsen used to always come to him and be mistakara to him. And the maestro of Apicurus came to once, and Ritzel Astara said, the difference between you and me is very slight. That's what we made the Ani. When you get up in the morning, you say, made the Ani with America, made the Ani, you get to the word Mela, and you start to ask all kinds of questions. How is God a king? Is he omnipotent? What is God? How is that? How is he a king? And your whole day is full with questions on Mela. It's just basically the same process, really, he says. We do that same thing. He says, I get the moment I say, made the Ani, but I get to be Ani. and I felt intoxicated. I said, who am I? What have I done? What have I accomplished? I mean, what kind of person is this? And the whole day goes by, and I just can't get away from all these classes I have on me, and I just never ever have time to get the classes in America. So the difference is in the union base, right? Because we're all busy with classes all day long. Yours are on the mother, mine on the army. Why do I say this relates to another? Because another is in one of its manifestations, and this is one of the things I've pronounced in Ayurveda myself, another is a mental and emotional state. Meaning, when a person is primarily keying in on his own chesronim, when this is our concern, the state of my davening, the state of my nidus, the state of my tzeis, the state of my concern for others, the state of my amun and the tefillin, the state of my davening, I mean, there's so much that we can be concerned with in ourselves, they're hot tzeis. Where is there time for a person to be concerned with the other, with the chesronim that there are in other people? Where is there time? Where is there time for that? The Kosher Tamagid always said about Pesach, the halakha is that the wall that's between the Jew and his father, so if there's a space in between, so it says, Kol Ephra, Zodeg, Admoth, and Shiad, and Magad, Hashem about the belief of the Dias. The Kosher Tamagid interprets the Dias and Emes, referring to the Talmud, which is the Yitzhahara, that a person has to be Zodeg, Admoth, and Shiad, and Magad. And so the place where his hand can reach, meaning in summation, you should always say, the chassidus means, tibazogin, yenem zem. And the end of the is what the news. That it says that Chassidus calls upon us to be primarily concerned with the aid of the Rosnius, with our Rosniustic estate, and not to the Rosniustic estate of someone else. This is the first thing in our Nova Halacha, as well as another. Is it self-deception? No. It's an obsession with the faults of us.
And the Adam's lucky if they can read.
But he says that Chassidus calls upon us to be primarily concerned with the aid of the Rosnius, with our Rosniustic estate, and not to the Rosniustic estate of someone else. This is the first thing in our Nova Halacha as well as another. Is it self-deception? No. It's an obsession with the faults of ourselves. Now, let's go a step further. We say that Anava is a concern with the state of ourselves. But it goes deeper than that. The Gemara brings down the Gemara Kulamis on the protest that Anarava and others say with Rechonim that the Nafkimina between Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron is that Avraham Avinu saw an earthly out of the Ephraim, and Moshe and Aaron said the Nafkimina more. That Ma is more of a madrega of self-obliteration than a notary after the Eifer. That's the Pesach term, the Gemara. But the Baal Shem says that there's not enough to mean. It's not just in the Lashon of after the Eifer as compared to Ma, it's also in the Nafkimina between the Onoki and the Nafkimina. But again, that with Avraham Avinu it's the Lashon of Onoki, and the Moshe Aaron it's the Nafkimina. That the true honor, the true honor is an honor together with others. True anava means together with other human beings, with other people. That the true honor cannot divorce himself from his fellow man. Now this might seem a bit of a contradiction, I'm saying, well, no, not at all. Saying concern, obsession, pain with your own witness. But that must then manifest itself in caring and compassion and concern with your fellow man. But there will be a distinct difference in how the honor approaches the ruchnius of a fellow man. We said before, concern oneself. But there is a way in which the honor can be concerned with his fellow man. And here we turn to Tefera Shlomo, the Shlomo Adamska. Tefera Shlomo was a very interesting figure, a very liberal figure. He lived again in the 1800s. In the Adamska, he used to send away Chassidim to other rabbis. If he held that somebody else would more the rebbe for you, he would send you away. Him and his son. That was a guy's in the dumps. So, I don't know, if he just got out. But the Adamska is very, very liberal. And he brings down an obverse, is a major distinction in Pirkei Avos. So much to die, the library has its first sermon. And the rabbi has it, and it's on the stickle I have a Donis Kalev in the top Swiss. Very, very long stickle. And it goes to a long Aliyah that's really great on a very deep level, which is not what I want to quote here, and that is that when a person discusses the evil of people, that makes a ration back to mind. So that when a person is interested in improving someone else, he should be careful generally not to mention their faults. This was a very important material amongst Hasidim. And unfortunately today, you know, due to the fact that the surviving Hasidic communities in America were for the most part Hungarian and Galicianic communities, this got lost a little bit. Because, again, in Hungary and in some parts of Galicia, Hasidus and Tanoyas came together for whatever reason. The Munkach Rebbe will be an example of that, and the Sabra sermon. But all other places, this is not the case. And Hasidus is very much in the tradition of the Bibishul Rebbe, and both the Sassan and the Prisha, and Ukrainian Hasidim, and Litvish Hasidim, Polish Hasidim. You know, the names, if we go through the names, these names are all associated with the other approach, with the approach of Kirov and Ahava and Lipschatz. Obviously, Joel was instrumental in founding the Aguda, and the Bezalev was a world-renowned Eid Israel, and certainly the Babish we certainly know about, and the Slonim, and Stalin, and the Ukrainian Hasidus, and I mean, Rizhin, the Biyana Rebbe who lived here in America, was a tremendous anti-Tanoi, and I know the Square Rebbe's coming over, but was to no end upset with Tanoi. So those rebels and those Hasidus that were more in the actual tradition of Hamidut Hashem were not Tanoim in the sense of negative Musa, critical Musa, castigating, criticizing, scolding Chrysler, a Jew. They went with a different approach. And that approach, he quotes here, he says, and again, he brings out the whole pilgrim, he brings down from the Tumim and in Mishpat, the Perek Zion, by the din of Ein Avi Mesa Matzma Rasha, he says that even though an aid knows that he's possible to hire it, but his brazen is not possible to Malki Shnayim, he can still testify. Even though the mice of the aid knows that he's possible, since he has been possible to brazen Malki Shnayim Adam, he can still go, even if he knows that he's on apostles. That's not enough. It has to be apostles that were certified in brazen. And it brings various rise to the question Mishpat that there are certain kinds of things that only when they're spoken do they become actual. And that's where he criticizes negative misser that focuses on criticism. Yeah. Anyway, that's not the part I wanted to speak about. It's a very long speaking, you can look it up, the other has it. But the thing he brings down is that there was a Kabbalah that the Yudah Kaddish of Tzitzka wrote down a Kabbalah from the Divra Leleva. The Divra Leleva was a Talmud of the Lublina. A Chassidish Rebbe, he was one of those who was sort of those more vagabondish rebbes that wandered all around and doing chesed and mitzvahs and mitzvahs and told him when, you know, he could have sat and been a big knocker somewhere. But instead he had more important things to do. And the Divra Leleva wandered around Poland and he brings down a Kabbalah from Divra Leleva as follows. That his man is right, so Shalom Yehoshiach Old Anoshim to Dibre Tatakas Mutsim to be Rashid Mitzuba. He even is Hayek Imahem the Dibre Ritzui the Nachas to the Kadavas Lavabam Biahada. So that's the goal of his monitor. That's the goal of his monitor. You might as well say in the Jusha would be on his travels and he'd come somewhere and there would be like an innkeeper or someone that he wanted to give message to the Jusha would do is that he would go into a room and he would search in his own heart and he would find some way in which he had sinned in some way, some minute fate similar to that of the innkeeper or the person he wanted to influence, and he would go into tears crying over that slight minute fate, and just that the innkeeper should hear his own tears about his own chatam, but never ever to say out that kind of nasty criticism that they wouldn't do. And the nice, there's an intricate link between this kind of musa, if you can call it musa, which is really just the overflowing of love and kiruv and caring and another. Because the emes that the honor really finds it very, very difficult to say anything nasty or critical or vicious or cruel towards another person. He's always concerned with accentuating the positive. He can't bring himself to say nasty critical words. I know with Moshe Gabel, I mentioned before, today I said that with Moshe because he wanted to know a digma of an honor amongst Hasidim. Moshe was a digma. Moshe, I told him Moshe because that's what he insisted on being called. There was no Reb Moshe. Nothing got him angry, but you know, calling him Reb Moshe certainly did. And Moshe Gabel was born in 1886 as a Polish Hasid, and he spent time with all the Polish rabbis in Aleksandr and Borsa and Katz, all over Poland. And later on he went on pilgrimages throughout Galicia. He never had a penny to his name. Him and his wife lived, and I knew them, they lived in one small room in Spreer, which is where he came to at the end of his life. He was in Romania by the Stifanester, he was by the Spreer, that was the kind of he was by the Gary, by the Nazisol, by the Rav. Moshe was a common Kaufman who could have compared to the greatest Rashi Yeshiva and Gedolei in Geinia's mom. He had a suffer. He brought the Shas. He brought in Abba Kalka Shulchan Aruch. He was a master of Epstein. But he was never ever interested in doing anything like that at all. He was just interested in journeying to Rebbes and being the power of Jews to Yiddishkeit, being the power of Bachman for learning. And that was his goal. At the end of his life, he lived in Spreer. So we all got to know him because everybody got to know him. And his derech was to convince all of us that money mattered not. Those of you that have seen this book, which is not to be relied upon, that they published today, this Kiddush Hashem book describing the derech Hasidim in the Warsaw Ghetto, not to be relied upon completely, but So it certainly is true in that sense that they work very hard, that money should mean nothing. All money is communal. Moshe, that was the derech. Your money, my money, his money, it's all the same, didn't make any difference. He had nothing, we had nothing, Ezra had nothing. He used to make sudas on those shoulders by the outside of the fabric, and the sudas would consist of kala and herring, and that was a suda, which he always insisted that if anything spilled, whether the herring or the kala or the tea, whatever spilled, that was the biggest thing in the world. That if anybody dirtied their clothes, and then that it was not very often, it was a big joke. The joke, because everything of this world meant nothing. He journeyed to Eretz Yisrael together with us, the Square Rebbe, in 1970, and Moshe journeyed to Eretz Yisrael carrying two brown paper bags. That was his baggage for a 2.5-week trip. In one bag he carried his wardrobe, and in the other bag he carried some cake that his wife had sent along for the pension. And this was the way he traveled there to sell, a carry-on luggage, and that was all there was. That was passing selling. That was it. And basically he was carrying his entire possessions in this world because he had nothing else besides that world. And I don't think I ever saw Moshe when he wasn't smiling, when he wasn't giving somebody a patch or a glove, or dragging it come long, or it was 3 o'clock in the morning after a 6 Friday night. He had 10, 12 guys sit down, or whatever it was, whether it was the Gemara, it was Simcha Yerushalayim, whatever it was, and they sat down with him. There was nothing to wait for him. But the whole point was that I'm nothing, you're nothing, we're together here, we're soldiers, we have our task to perform. And he had all his shtick to emphasize. I know Shabbos morning he used to daven with me, and Moshe used to wear a shtamma, which probably, I guess, as far as I could see, it probably was the shtamma he got married, but Moshe got married probably in 1904 or something like that. And the shtamma basically was just, you know, all the tears coming down all over his head on all sides. And he used to say, when he used to put on his palace, the palace over his head, he would give me a shtamma to hang up in the wall. He would give it to me by smacking it across my back to make sure that it was thoroughly knocked out of shape. And that would have be how he would. He was very against us wearing, carrying umbrellas or wearing plastics on our hats or our coats, because obviously it was all the better if this could be ruined. And then we would all realize how really unimportant and transient this all was, and it really was true, because to him it really was that unimportant and that transient. But the Meister, he was a digma of a chesed and honor whose anivus was not the anivus of depression. And very often we make that mistake. Even the great Bali Mitzvah wasn't true, but the Hasidim certainly wasn't true, because that was a form of art. The Ish Mesha on of the Yod, Mikol Ebenash, Alfrei Hadama, so the son of the Tashit like this. Mesha Rabbeinu was an on of the Yod. He was a greater honor, Mikol Ebenash, from all the other people who want to make the stick of being an honor, and they walk around with their faces bent over, we call Adam Asha Alkanah down from all the men who were with their faces facing the ground, where each Moshe honored Mirai, Moshe's another, was that much more true and that much more real than that. And that was practically another of Moshe Gabo, also was an another. But it was an another which was based upon a joy, it was based upon life with other people, caring with other people, being with other people, and caring about other people. Well, as I often thought that, again, with the Havzah of Dallas, but that's the difference between the obsessive nature of Tolstoy's later novels and his earlier novels, because the earlier novels, before he became more film, the earlier Tolstoy novels, you know, you get this sense of real compassion for people, and the later novels, you know, you get a sense of just sort of preachy pretentiousness. But do as it may. Just a few more Nikudas in our novel and we'll be done. And honestly, the honor is an honor to tape other people. It's also an honor to tape Hashem's creation, which means that he is open to existence and to the world. He sees the world not according to his own lights. He lets reality hit him. He is the true phenomenologist in that sense, because an honor says Hashem created night and day. Hashem created all the physical phenomena of the world. He lets these things hit them because he is receptive to Hashem. To me, this is a necessary derivative of true anava.
because I do not judge the world by some ideological constructs that I have set up, but I allow existence to hit me in its creaturely status. This is a shmooze that we could shmooze on at great length, that I just mentioned here at the end of the talk about another, because the true Anav listens, sees, Yosei Yarigish to the true snapshot of Hashem Yisrael. To the degree that we are in Anav, we will experience attachment of our soul to God. The Ayudeja, Yilei Tribo, the soul will become inflamed, the heart will become inflamed, when we know that shiftless is the way for a person, the more a person holds himself small, the more the person can become truly linked to Hashem Yisrael. So when I said we have here a dose before us, it apparently is the most fundamental of all the leaders. From the Gemaras, from the Rishonim, from the Pesukim, from Mishlei, from Tehillim, from others, from the Rishonim, from the Pesukim, this is the Yesod, this of Yiddish, is the removal of Goyos and the appreciation of another, and may we all be grateful to true to another and through that to cultivate.
Thank you.